Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to do some call-ins. And just have a few announcements, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what's in the news because it's getting pretty crazy out there. But anyway, we're going to have our first Skywatch weekend coming up May 11th. And I've been just going out for a few minutes because it's been pretty cold. You know, the weather's been a little cold, but we had a really warm day yesterday. It was beautiful. And I walked out just for a few minutes, looked above my head, and three ships right above me. It was amazing. And we're now getting frequent flyers coming over, these massive helicopters. And they're coming over, you know, sometimes late at night. We had three today flying right over the ranch, you know, right overhead. Three big Hueys, you know, big double prop Hueys look like. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure what kind they were, but that's what they look like. Loud. And we had one really just right over the house at about 10:30 the other night and shaking. I mean, it really shook the house. I mean, they're definitely kind of letting us know that they're keeping an eye on us. But, you know, that's all right. They need to learn, too. Hopefully they'll figure things out and they get on the right side of the fence. I know the Navy's gotten on the right side of the fence, and they're the ones with the real power and the real technology. Unfortunately, the Air Force has kind of been left behind, and they're a little upset because they aligned with the CIA and the Dark Heart. So hopefully that'll get straightened out here real soon, and we can clean up the swamp and get rid of this deep state nonsense that's totally against the Republic. That's inevitable. That eventually will happen. It's going to be slow in coming, but eventually that is the outcome. And there's reasons for that I can go into later on the show. But again, we've got the Self-Mastery Workshop coming up May 26th through the 28th. And we've got Michael Tellinger and myself June 9th and 11th. And we're going to talk about the real history of Earth, Ubuntu, and cover a little bit about all that, you know, so be some major eye openers. You know, people come to this thing and they walk out like a deer in the headlights, you know, a lot of times because their whole reality base gets turned upside down in a good way, you know, just it's called the power of truth. But all info on these events, you just go to ecetievents.com. Again, that's ecetievents.com if you want to find out more about the upcoming workshops and Skywatches and how to come and have your own experience and see the ships yourself. Because, you know, it's been... One night we came out here and I stopped counting at about 15 and went in, and I was only out for like 30 minutes. So they're flying. You know, the ships are up there and they're heavily monitoring. And I'm going to show some things. I'll be at Contact in the Desert. I think it's around the 19th is when that starts up. But May 19th, check out Contact in the Desert. I'm going to show you some amazing footage of treetop level ships that have been coming in. And it's just undeniable. And also, too, I just filmed a ship in front of the space station. It was traveling right in front of the space station. And, you know, you call up NASA and they said, no, we're not sending up any supplies or anything. It's not a Russian jet or anything else. And you go, well, what's that big ship, you know, following this in front of the space station? And they, we just saw that we are. we have something up there, you know. Yeah, it's probably the secret space fleet, you know, who knows. But then this massive ship flies right in front of the space station. I mean, a big ship, and I've got that all on film as well. So, I mean, you can try to explain away one and lie your way out of one, but when the big ship flies right in front of the space station, right across its bow, then that's a hard one to explain. So I'm not saying they're ETs. I'm not saying they're the secret space fleet. All I'm saying, it was a really big ship, and it wasn't supposed to be there, you know, according to all the, you know, heavens above and J-Tracker. So anyway, that being said, I always tell people, have your own experience, you know, then it's not going to be just, you know, some armchair investigator trying to tell you what's going on. You know, I usually don't get into politics, but there's some crazy stuff going on. This French presidential candidate, Emmanuel Macron or whatever, he just got hacked. I guess 9 gigabytes of data revealing, you know, basically a globalist agenda and putting out a welcome mat for the Muslim, you know, immigrants. And you know, they just had two major terrorist attacks over there. And the only thing I can say is go Le Pen, you know. So, you know, a lot of people are going to get upset about that, you know, talking about those things. But, you know, I have nothing against Muslims. I love all people. I love all faiths, as long as you're practicing love and joy and bliss and universal peace and things like that. But, you know, when you've been raised in a way that is you know, hate, and you want to, you know, you want everybody else that's not a Muslim to die, and that's your program, and you hate women, and you think women have less rights than a dog or cattle, you know, I have no tolerance for that. I just have no use for that anyway whatsoever. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying all Muslims are that way, but, you know, a lot of this Sharia law and things like that, that's based after a tyrant. I hate to say it, but, you know, the Anunnaki gods are the foundation of almost all religions. Anytime you have a bearded god, you have an Anunnaki, and that's what it all goes back to. Even the Greek gods were the Anunnaki. Some of them were very benevolent, and some of them were very loving, and some were tyrants, you know, and they basically wanted to end the experiment. They wanted to get rid of the human experience down here. And so, you know, basically you had some that loved humanity and wanted to see humanity continue and evolve to its highest potential. You had other ones that just wanted to, that thought we're a nuisance and wanted to get rid of us, you know. So, and there's some were very threatened because when they combined the Anunnaki gene with the human gene, that some of these hybrids were actually excelling beyond their masters. And so there's a lot of truth to that, because what happens is when you have a being that's in total service mode, that's very loving and in service mode, that energy opens the door to contact and connection with spirit on very high levels. And so now you've got this, the genes of the gods hooking into the source itself and excelling beyond the gods, which kind of arrogantly created a separation game between them and the source. And I'm not all of them, because some of the Anunnaki were actually benevolent. They continued to evolve, and some fell, and some were here on the earth, but there's a big cleanup process in that situation. So anyway, I think people need to unite around the universal principles that are good for a healthy society and environment, you know, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom, and equality for everybody. And that's the way, you know, things need to move, you know, in that direction. And, you know, when you go outside of universal law, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're blowing it. I don't care what religion you are, you're blowing it, you know, period. And I really have an extreme disdain for, you know, violence against women and beating women and the way that women are treated under some of these belief systems. I think that is just beyond ridiculous, and, you know, they should find their own little place and do their thing and be confined, because they shouldn't be in society. That's just my belief. So, yeah, I'm sorry they were programmed that way. I'm sorry they have that belief system ingrained in them. I'm sorry that they chose a religion and masters that are filled with hate, you know, and separation. But, you know, it's their choice, period. And we have to recognize that is their choice, and that's where they're coming from, and we need to deal with it accordingly, period, you know. And not much more to say on that. So, I know Julian Assange took to task the officials in the Trump administration in a series of tweets and interviews and just showing total hypocrisy. You know, are we a republic? You know, do we have a constitution? You know, do we have First Amendment rights? You know, do, you know, basically it's very simple. You know, do we have a right, you know, to free speech? You know, and yes, we do. And period, you know, end of story. If that free speech is, if they're saying something that you don't like or something that's incriminating you and you are a criminal, then tough luck, you know, stop being a criminal. You know, how hard is that? You know, it's like, you know, it's not that complicated. I know Putin invited CNN to testify in their involvement with influencing the Russian elections. This is, I don't know why I find this kind of hilarious. You know, it to me, it's just, you think about it, you know, CNN has been spreading all these lies about Russian hack this, Russian hack that, Russian hacked hack the polls. You know, you can't hack the polls. They're not online. Russian hacked the grid system. The grid system's not online. You can't hack the grid system. You know, on and on and on, you know, and basically, if it's going to have a Russian fingerprint on it, it's probably our own guys doing it and trying to blame the Russians. I mean, that's the name of the game. That's been well established as the name of the game. If there's no fingerprint on it, they might have done it, you know, so they're not that stupid. But I can go further than that, but I'm just going to leave that one at there. But, you know, that's quite a twist, you know, when now that Putin is actually inviting CNN to testify in their involvement, you know, influencing Russian elections. But there's another thing I'm finding quite interesting. This Jared Kushner guy, you know, he's married to Ivanka Trump, and he got like $240+ million loan from Soros, which is scary as hell. And he bought the building in New York that has the address 666. This is on the mainstream news, you know, folks. And he paid a whopping, you know, sum for that thing, way overpriced, you know, than what it was worth to get that number. So, you know, you got Soros, and now you've got 666, and you've got huge loans from Soros. And, you know, I'm not a biblical guy, you know, but I read the Bible, but things are starting to look a little biblical here. So, you know, you got the Antichrist markings all over this one. And, you know, and if you just look at some of these guys like Soros and some of these other guys, they look like something right out of Star Wars, you know, like the Dark Sith or the Emperor or something, you know, I don't know. It's I don't know where these guys are coming from. But and I guess they also got caught offering visas for Chinese investors, you know. So, you know, there's a big mess there. I don't know what Trump's going to do with that one, you know, because that's a mess. You know, his own in-laws are turning on him. And from what I heard, I don't know if, you know, every once in a while I'll turn on Alex Jones. And I guess he had a talk with Trump and had a phone call with Trump. And, you know, Trump said he's trying to drain the swamp. He's trying to take care of business. And he said, but it's hard when your own family members are turning on you and you're having all these. He said he's been blocked on every avenue, and people he thought he could trust turned out to be backstabbers. So, you know, it's quite a mess. And you know, draining the swamp, especially if you're going to do this pedophile thing, they just arrested another 900 pedophiles. And there was a Euro-American sting operation, you know, with this dark web, and there's 120,000 members. I mean, that's crazy, you know. So you'll know when this huge pedophile roundup is done, because, you know, a lot of Hollywood won't show up for the Emmys, and the House and Senate, you know, will probably show up empty, or they might be wearing a lot of orange outfits, you know. But anyway, you know, a little karma on all this satanic, you know, child sacrificing thing going on. It's called Kuru. And Kuru is when you eat human flesh and you end up with all these body tremors and blackouts and things like that. So, you know, if you look at some of these guys, they're not healthy, you know, especially these Satan worshipers that do the blood sacrifices and things. You look at them, their bodies are empty shells, basically, and something else is in there. And trust me, they've lost all humanity. It's not there. It's not even present anymore. And they're just puppets for another force. But, and again, that could do a whole show on that one. And I guess Lynch just got busted. A bunch of her emails released. And it was bad enough meeting, you know, Bill Clinton on the tarmac. And basically, you know, it says that, you know, Hillary's going to get a pass, you know. You know, basically, you know, they're going to keep her out of jail no matter what, you know. So and a lot of that was coming out of the Comey testifying and things like that, which is, you know, as long as those two guys are in there, Lynch and Comey, you know, that needs to be addressed. You know, it's like, I don't know what kind of dirt Hillary's got on everybody, but she must have it, because these guys are afraid to go after what are definite, you know, it actually ties right into treason. I mean, it goes all the way up the ladder. I mean, I could list a number of things, but, you know, here's one. Trey Gowdy sent two investigators to look into the Clintons, and both were found murdered and tortured, you know. And so you can add them to the long list of, you know, body count around the Clinton Foundation. So, I mean, you can say a lot about Trump, but I mean, did you really want Hillary? I mean, give me a freaking break. I mean, my God. Can you, do you have any inner sensitivity left? Can't you look at these people and feel what's in them? Their true motives. And I mean, it's just, if you're awake and you're sensitive and you look at these people, you can't even listen to them. You can't tune into their frequency because it's sickening. You just have to shut it off. And some of these other people like Trey Gowdy and these other guys up there, these guys are relentless. I mean, my hat's off to these guys because they are just asking the hard questions and they're bringing people to task. And after his two investigators got taken out, I mean, I think the gloves are off. So you're going to see some major things going down there. And again, there's a lot of things that Trump has done that I disagree with, especially the pipeline and some of the other things that he's done. But overall, as far as trying to drain this swamp, I think he has no idea what he got into and how just how deep and dark, this whole deep state thing and how deep this satanic blood sacrifice rituals go and this and how deep the pedophile rings go. And it's I think he, and then people he thought that were going to really stand by his side have actually turned on him because they're part of these rings. It's such a mess. That swamp, when you drain that swamp, I don't think we're going to have a political system anymore, if you really drain the swamp. So, I don't know. Good luck to him, and I hope the higher beings are with him and they can help get this done. But it can't be all business. It has to be heart, and we got to be an environmentalist, basically. It's great to get America back on its feet and bring jobs in and things like that. But a lot of these things we're still enslaved through dependency. And when you've got fuelless energy, you've got all these free energy technologies, and you've got replicator machines and things like that. I mean, come on. I mean, why is anybody homeless? Why is anybody without food and resources? I mean, nature's abundant. Why can't we get food to where it needs to go? And why can't we have really good food? I mean, we can grow food without all the pesticides and without all the herbicides and things like that, and healthier food and more of it. So this whole Monsanto thing is needs to be exposed, and it is, That's glyphosate that's in everything now. It's even in honey, showing up in the bees. That causes cancer. It's been ruled by judges in California. This causes cancer, and it's all throughout our system. It's in the water. It's everywhere, and these guys need to be held accountable for it. But anyway, the good news is the Schumann resonance is off the scale since Easter, so the planetary lifting is definitely on its way. NASA admits we're going through a highly charged place in space, and in the whole universe, basically the planets are glowing, and so all the planets are undergoing extreme atmospheric changes. They're heating up. Global warming has little or nothing to do with carbon CO2. Yes, we need to get rid of these gas belching machines and these oil tankers that are destroying the coasts and the oceans and, all this nonsense. We need to get rid of the nuclear reactors as well. I mean, all this stuff is unnecessary. We have the technology to get away from all these things. But try to capitalize on global warming and unite the whole planet against global warming that is going to be run, governed by the power elite. Just another way to get their fingers in everybody's pockets and keep everybody down. But basically they've got all these Agenda 21s, and they have another agenda thing coming out, and it's all about enslaving the masses, every bit of it. So it looks good on the outside, but the end, it's basically Gestapo in a green outfit, saying, "We're here for you," basically, "We're here to help." And that's a scary one, when they knock on your door and said, "Hey, we're here to help." You can tell that to the Bundys, but anyway, we are definitely going through some huge changes. The sun caught us with our pants down, last week with our magnetic fields were low, and it had a glancing CME. Luckily, it didn't hit us directly, but that's why we had all those the global power outages, which weren't even talked about. It was amazing how they didn't even cover this. I mean, we are like a sitting duck. If we didn't have extraterrestrial help in blocking some of these solar flares, which are kill shots, I mean, our whole grid would be down. We'd have no power. We'd be back in the dark ages, you know. So anyway, we'd be back to horse and buggies. You know, you really think about it, the grid goes down. You know, you guys, well, I've got a gas car. Well, what happens when your gas runs out? You know, how's it going to get pumped? You know, how's your water going to get to you? Most of it's pumped. You know, how's your sewage going to get away from you? Most of that's pumped, you know. So you really still need to start reevaluating this thing. You know, you're not going to be able to use your credit card. You're not going to be able to stop at Carl's Jr. or McDonald's because they're not going to have power, you know. So, you know, I'd keep an eye on that. You know, I'd definitely get set up for at least 2 weeks. I would be set up for a couple months myself, you know, and it'd be really easy to do that. You know, just store some basic foods, you know, shut your power off on your house and see what happens. Try it out. See how long you can last, you know, or, you know, shut your water off and see what happens in your house. You know, if you can't flush your toilets, what happens? You know, and pretty soon the P-trap, you know, dries up and then you've got an open vent, you know, to the sewers coming into your house. So, you know, you got to rethink this stuff. There's different ways of doing things that are safe and natural and different ways of living that we need to reevaluate, you know, how we live and how we can live in harmony with each other and nature and how we can, you know, like Chief Seattle said, you know, that, you know, when you take man from nature, you harden his heart. And that's true. You know, we got to get out of these cubicles and get out in nature. Take your shoes off, walk on the ground, you know, walk on the grass and let the earth, you know, readjust your energies, your frequencies. It's something that needs to be done. Another thing I wanted to talk about, too, and I want to open this up for callers, is that I have a question. How many prophecies can you get wrong and still have name recognition and star power? You know, I'm trying to figure this one out. You know, 2012 is actually 2017 because Mark Anthony did not become Caesar for 5 years. And the old Gregorian calendar, they kept it by the reign of the Caesars. So we're actually now at 2012. 2017 is 2012. And if you don't think that's accurate, just look at what is going on right now on every level. You know, you got the social, economic, and physical earth changes in your face right now. And, you know, the earthquake and volcanic activity is up, you know, 400%. And everything is moving. The you know, the floods, the droughts, everything, you know, the natural disasters, those are up like 410%, I believe. It's like, you know, off the scale right now. And then we got these psychopaths that are playing with HARP and chemtrails and everything else that are running amok. And that we have to put an end to that quickly because these guys have no idea what they're doing. They're moving jet streams. They're putting extremely toxic materials in the sky. They're putting aluminum, barium, and strontium. These are all heavy metals. They're accumulative. Sulfur. You know, they want to spread glyphosate. And, you know, good old Mr. Gates is like financing these, you know, he's bought heavily into Monsanto and now he wants to, you know, invest in the chemtrails and the geoengineering. And now you're hearing they want to start spraying. Why would you spray glyphosate in the air? I mean, it's an extreme carcinogenic. It's going to destroy your gardens. It's going to destroy the forests. The aluminum is already destroying the forest because it blocks the uptake of nutrients. It's destroying the gardens. You know, why would you do something like that unless you were a total genocidal maniac? I mean, there's another word for it. I can't remember. When you're actually, it's not just genocide. It's actually you're warring against creation, all of creation. So what kind of mind would do something like that? And I want you to really think about this. What kind of human would do acts that are so inhuman that they're almost unthinkable? And that's why they're getting away with it, because nobody can believe they're actually doing it. But just think about that, you know. Humans really don't do inhuman acts. There's other influences around them, or they've actually turned themselves over and they're puppets for other forces that are inhuman, and they basically would like to turn the Earth into a nice desert to fit their needs. And pollution is fine for them. They've already destroyed their planets. They've been raised in highly polluted atmospheres, and they can do fine in that kind of a condition. You know, it doesn't do too well for us, and that's basically where things are going. So, you know, all these Fukushimas, you know, these tidal waves, these all of these things are generated, you know, so we have to take a look at that. I guess we've got some callers coming on, so I've pretty much hit the end of the thing. And one of the things I want to talk about is a lot of the disclosure thing is like, how can you be anti-government, you know, demanding disclosure when you're an arm with the Rockefellers and the Clintons, you know? And you know, I just think about this, and you're getting, you know, people are taking all this money and everything. We really need to look at who people are hanging with. And there are legitimate people out there that are doing sky watches and are demanding disclosure and things like that. But we really need to look at their character, how they treat their staff, and where the money goes. And we need to be serious about this and keep, you know, keep people to task, you know, about, you know, what's going on. I find it interesting. I'm sitting here, I've got my phone on airplane mode, and it's all over the place, and messages are coming in saying Siri's not available. It's going nuts right now. So I don't know who's messing with my phone, but I find it very interesting. You know, I don't know if the ET's playing a joke or if it's the NSA, but either or, it is kind of funny. And the way I feel about it, you know, hey, these guys need an education. They can listen all they want. I really don't have anything to hide, but still there is, you know, a right to privacy, and they need to honor that. And if they aren't honoring it, they're guilty of treason, you know. So welcome to America, and you may be paying the price here pretty soon if things keep going in the right direction. So anyway, I want to go ahead and start taking some callers, and we've got Wendy online. Hopefully Wendy's still with us. Wendy, yeah. Are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hello? Hi. Yeah, I was there about a year ago. It was great. I came with two friends. The three of us came to the ranch. I just wanted to ask what was going on, if you have any updates on Fukushima, because that's a little concerning.
Yeah, I haven't asked. I know the ETs were doing a lot of cleanup on that. They're still not happy at all because we're still building more. You know, I don't know if we've shut that down, but I know Obama gave the go-ahead to build a bunch of new reactors, the exact same type as Fukushima. So it's pure insanity. And from their perspective, they're going, why should we clean this up when you're building more and you're just going to keep destroying the planet? I mean, why, you know, why is this our job? And I know there are a lot of good people out there that have nothing to do with this and are pretty upset about it, you know, what's happening to the fish and the ocean and everything else. But still, those people are going to have to rise up and just put an end to this, because it's the same thing as Trump. Like, people expect Trump to save everybody. It's not going to happen. You know, the people are going to have to rise up as a collective and do it. You know, the same thing. Every time we get somebody in there, doesn't matter if they start out good or if they're groomed, you know, to say all the right things and do the opposite. Either way, it doesn't matter until the people rise up and wake up and just say enough's enough. Then it'll continue business as usual.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Do you see the other thing I've been thinking about? Do you see the whole, you know, I keep reading the whole economic system technically probably should have crashed a couple of years ago with the derivatives and all that. Did you see that happening? Like, it just seems to stagger onwards indefinitely.
Yeah, it keeps getting propped up, you know, over and over again. And it is bankrupt. I mean, the feds are totally bankrupt. They can't. It's a mess, and the solution is there, and they've been trying to implement the solution, and that has to do with the global reevaluation and the gold-backed currency and the new they call it like the rainbow currency, which actually has been released. It's just starting to come out. I think it came out in China. It was on the exchange, but the solutions are there. But every time they get close to implementing this, like a mole will pop up, a high-level mole. that's part of the cabal or aligned with stopping this, and they'll put a monkey wrench into it. And I know people on the highest levels that are putting this thing through, you know, and where the gold, the people that actually have the gold and the signatories that are moving the gold to back all the currencies and create a level playing field. They're just getting challenged one after they're right at the brink of everything happening. And then somebody pops up and throws a monkey wrench in there. And I want to mention the names, but they're very high level people. I mean, even Obama signed an executive order to stop, you know, the reevaluation. So, it's basically the white hats and, you know, against the globalists and the cabal. And, it's a push-pull. They take two steps forward and then one step back and two steps forward. But the energy is behind it. You know, the shift is behind it. So that these other guys are not frequency specific to where things are going, and they can't stop it. I mean, the whole universe is lighting up. You know, it's an unstoppable force. But, you know, they're doing all they can to hold on to their power. But, you know, that frequency, tyranny is not going to be around too much longer. It's not a frequency you can hold on to and maintain your physical body.
Yeah, thanks. It's just a question of just hanging in there.
Well, I think,
little nerve-wracking. I just have an argument with my husband about that. I think it's not even safe to keep money in the bank at this point because I think Cyprus was a test run of the whole bail-in. Like, oop, we busted it again. We're just going to keep everybody's money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I think, if the things go according to plan, it won't be a problem. But if it doesn't get done, it can be a big problem. So it's who knows? I hopefully the white hats will all step forward and take care of business. And that thing seems to be that's where it's going.
That'll be nice. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. So we've got, I guess it's Juan on line two. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Lon, L-O-N. So.
Yeah. I don't know why it says Juan. Yeah. Okay. Lon. Great.
Hey. Good talking to you, James. I've talked to you before. I've been, you know, keeping up and trying to keep up on, you know, paying attention to, the energies and stuff like that within myself and the other people that present themselves, you know, and, you know, so that we can try to move forward with this. So it's real interesting. And you had been talking to the lady that was just on about the financial stuff. And I was wondering how you felt about, you know, the Michael Tellinger stuff, the Ubuntu, that type of thing.
You know, I know some about it. I haven't delved as deep as I would like to in it, but actually he's coming out to do a presentation here at the ranch.
Oh, cool.
Coming up real soon.
Yeah.
And so, we'll get more into that, but I'm all for it. You know, here we live very close to the land and we grow a lot of our own food and we enjoy, you know, community living, and my resources all go back into the awakening healing process that's going on here and educational process. But I live very simply. I just don't need much. You know, as a matter of fact, I have a small little yurt I've been living in out here, and the main house is for everybody else. I have this big bridge house I built out of an old bridge, and that's for everybody else. And I just have my little yurt out here, and I just now finally put a bathroom in, you know, so I don't have to go over and use the bathroom at the main house. So, I mean, I live pretty simply, and it's not a problem for me. I'd much rather be out in nature and gardening and things like that than even doing conferences. I mean, it's always tell people I have to kick myself in the butt, you know, to do these conferences, things are getting interesting.
Yeah. Too. That I mean, just a whole bunch lately, I live in California, and it's the whole concept of, you know, the money, and you're just kind of like in this one big kind of like this rat race of, you know, that's all that matters to people and things like that. It's really difficult sometimes.
Well, the collective consciousness around money. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, we pay people millions and millions of dollars for taking a stick and hitting a dead animal skin and running around in circles, you know, or throwing a dead animal skin through a hoop, you know, or things like that. And, you know, sports are fun and things like that. But, you know, our icons and our the people we revere, you know, especially Hollywood and things like that, it's so... When you actually find out who these people are, you know, and these heartthrobs are not even into women, you know, like a lot of these women are going, I'm in love. And they go, well, sorry, honey, you know, he's not really into women. You know, it's just, it's, you know, and vice versa. But it's just so, everything's just a fraud, you know, it's just a big facade. Yeah. And it's sad is when you base your self-worth on, you know, material acquisition, you know, what happens when you lose it, you know, you buy a fancy car and then you lose the car or somebody crashes it and all of a sudden, you know, you're nobody, you know, you're walking on the street. But, it is sad that people do that and they have a whole societal programming that's in that direction about it's how you look, what you wear and how much Botox you've got in your lips and what you drive and where you work and everything else that's not the measure of a man or a woman, you know, to be well adjusted to a sick society. It's, I think Gurdjieff said something like that.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that, you know, friends of mine and stuff like that, I'm mostly retired. And so a lot of, you know, friends, we get together and, you know, do our activities and stuff like that. And they're going through this struggle too about, you know, what's real and important. And, you know, with me, it's the connection with people and, you know, I have a dog and, you know, things like this in nature. These are the important things and yet still getting caught up in the other stuff. But it's like, you know, okay, I just keep plodding forward and stuff and doing the meditation and trying to center and, you know, being, you know, grateful for, you know, the connection. I'm grateful I woke up this morning, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. It's a monkey trap down there, you know. Yeah, so many people have their hand in the monkey trap and they can't let go. And, you know, I was involved in that. Yeah. I was in commercial real estate at one time. I had my own office and all these people working for me. And then I had the drowning experience and I couldn't function in that world anymore. Yeah. I had to walk away from it, and it was the best thing I ever did. I'm happier now than I go back and I look at my friends of that time, and it's very sad because a lot of them, their health is in the toilet. You know, they look very old and they're very battered, you know, by society, and they're not happy. There's no joy, you know, in their lives. And I just said, well, you know, too bad you didn't get to drown like I did, you know.
But you know, you wouldn't want to wish that anybody, but I've sponsored near death experiencers group, but I've never had that experience. But I've had, you know, other things, you know, the blue lights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of the cosmic disclosure stuff too, and it's interesting, you know, to see, you know, what resonates true, and to try and stay in balance. So
yeah.
Anyway, I enjoy listening to you, James. I'm glad I got to talk to you, and I'll let you get going to another caller then.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yeah, you know, we do live in this world, you know, and you have to respect that. And there are rules and regulations in this world, you know, but, you know, I always tell people, they say, well, it's all an illusion. I said, well, see that tree over there? Take a run at it and get back to me because... You know, like Albert Einstein said, you know, it is an illusion, but albeit it's a very persistent one. So as long as you're in this persistent, you know, illusion and you can't levitate or walk through walls, then, you know, you have to kind of know your limits. You know, that's what Clint Eastwood said. A man's got to know his limits or a woman. But anyway, you know, it's that's what I see. You got a physical body down here. You're in a physical world, you know, enjoy it, love it, you know, love it all and do the best with it. But, you know, yeah, if you can walk through walls and levitate, great. You know, then you you can move beyond the limitations of this world. But if you can't, you got to recognize where you're at. But, Let's see. I think we've got Stephen on line three. Let's see if we can get Stephen on. Welcome to the show. Yeah.
Hey, James. How's it going?
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I just got a couple of questions for you. Hopefully you can answer them quickly. I don't know. But anyhow, I was curious about, okay, as far as I know, as far as my understanding is that Source, you know, pretty much created everything that, you know, is out there now. So I guess I'm really curious as to how the Draco reptilians, how they came about, and, you know, if they were also from Source, how did they become the way that they are? Do you know, or do you even know?
Well, it seems interesting. What I know is that a good example is that when the gods, you know, that when you have the prime creator, whatever you want to call it, you know, the first cause, and then, you know, it bent itself inward and created the gods, you know, the Elohim. Every version of God is plural. You know, when you read the ancient texts and everything, it's always plural. And then the gods, which were light beings endowed with the same creative drive and abilities of the Father, Mother, God, principle, whatever you want to call that, they started creating. And they started creating from a light body. And they had no concept of pain and suffering and death or fear or survival. That's not part of the reality because they're light beings. And so they started creating, you know, they had the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, you know, on up, and the plants started taking over everything. So they had to create the herbivores to get rid of the plants, and then the herbivores started taking over everything, and they had to create the carnivores to balance out the herbivores. But, you know, until they inhabited a body, that they had no idea of what it meant to experience pain and fear of survival and suffering and things like that. So what happens is, I think, you know, a lot of these creator gods got very creative in a lot of different directions, and then there was a lot of genetic manipulation by other very highly advanced beings that might not have given a lot of forethought, you know, about you know where they're going. It's just an experiment, and I know, you know, if
I've actually heard the term. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you have a reptile with a reptilian brain, and you know, it's pretty much based on survival, and you know, there's not a lot of community and things like that, you know, in that consciousness, and that's just the way the brain functions. So I mean, I think a lot of it was experimentation, and let's see where this goes, and that experimentation evolved, and now I think we're evolving beyond the need for that kind of vehicle or that kind of body or that kind of consciousness, and it's just wreaked havoc throughout the universe here, and now there's a big cleanup process, and those that can evolve and go to the next level and behave themselves are, I think, going to be cleaned up and taken out.
So does that come back to, I guess, personality then? Is that kind of what you think is going on then, or ego?
Well,
or any...
it's more genetic. We're okay. Talking about more genetic creations and things like that, but... you can, you know, if you have something with no empathy or no, all it knows is competition and one-upmanship and power over others and things like that, and it doesn't have anything to balance it out with, like empathy or compassion or things like that, there are life forms that are that way, and they're just not hardwired.
They're just not aware of those other emotions. Is that what you're saying then, I guess? Or?
Yeah. They may not genetically be able to embrace that or access that just because of their genetic makeup. You know, I guess by themselves, if they had their own little culture and were doing their own thing, it'd be fine. But when they start spilling over into other cultures, and this is my own personal belief, is like in the Orion system, when the reptilians came in and invaded the Orion. I mean, there was peaceful people there, and they were colonies, and they were very artistic, very loving people, you know, very advanced, very spiritually and technologically advanced. Like, war was not even part of the reality. And they came in there and just, without any respect whatsoever for life or property or anything, just started leveling the place, you know. And to me, that's not acceptable, you know.
How is that allowed to happen, though, I guess, if you don't mind me asking? I guess I don't understand that.
You know, that's it's a good question. What I think is it's part of an evolutionary process that they gained the wisdom from that, and they found out that they had to become balanced, and they had to realize that there was a dark force. It's kind of like in my own evolution, I had to deal with some pretty nasty demons, and I almost lost it a couple times in battling these guys.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean like?
Well, I mean, they almost took over. You know, I had a battle all night long with one that tried to take over my body, and after it was done, you know, I heard from the heavens, you know, they said, "You did well." You know, I was pissed, you know. And I go, "How could you let this happen?" You know, like, I thought I had protection and things, and they said, "You did well." And they said it was part of my initiation, and it actually empowered me, because now I know who these guys are, and I know how to get on top of it and how to clear that energy. So it actually made me stronger in the long run. And so I think that's part of it. You know, you can have a real a bad experience, or you can step into your power and take control and maintain your own self authority and get through it. And I think the universe always tests you, and in a way, some of these things are there for us to stay in balance, you know, to realize there is a dark side, there is a dark force, but when it comes too all pervading, it gets too, then there has to be a cleanup.
Do you know where we stand, speaking of, as far as, like, I mean, I guess from what I've heard and understand, that the secret space fleet, the Navy space fleet, that they're trying to assist, I guess, on cleaning the planet up. Do you know where we stand on that by any chance? Or?
Well, there's people I know in the system that I've talked to about this, and they said that they are aligning with the benevolent ones. And I actually helped in some of that process with some of the people, hooking them up to the more benevolent, higher dimensional beings. And so that alignment's happening, and they're moving in that direction. But it's kind of a mess, because you've got the secret space fleet, and you've got the cabal guys, you know, Russia has its fleet, China has its fleet, and they're kind of uniting together. And I think the cabal are pretty much going to be taken out. They're done with it. You know, they're just done with that kind of consciousness. They see it doesn't serve anything, not even them, you know, not even the space fleet anymore. Huh. So they're moving that direction. We have a real problem with the Air Force and the CIA and that hookup. And that's why you have the chemtrails and things like that. But hopefully the Navy will go over and have a talk with them and say, okay, guys, you know, you've been duped. You know, you've been duped, and you've been, you know, aligned with the wrong guys that would actually just don't care, give a damn about you or your family. They want you all dead. So maybe it's time to change your, you know, alliance here.
So what can the, you know, I'll, this will be the last question I ask you. I don't want to take up all your time. I apologize. But
sure.
So what can, I mean, just us as unique individuals do? I mean, because I don't want to say that, you know, we are powerless, because I understand that obviously if we were to unite, that we would be the most powerful force, you know, that there is out there. But, you know, unfortunately, because I think of, you know, the way that we're controlled, as far as, you know, we have to do certain things to survive, which doesn't really give us the freedom to do things that, you know, I think we could do to kind of take more control of our lives. So what is it that can we do? I mean, because, like, I almost feel like, you know, I do a lot of praying or meditation, whatever you want to call it, and I think I do see, you know, reaction to that. But, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, when I see planes flying over, you know, spewing chemtrails, you know, I'm thinking some pretty bad things, you know, not obviously to the pilot, but, you know, I'd like to see that plane, you know, taken out somehow, you know what I mean, not in a harmful way, But anyhow, so what can we do as individuals to really, you know, to make a change? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, what you're doing is consciousness, you know, is cause. I mean, love's the ultimate power in the universe. And so you got to maintain that connection. But, you know, there's an old saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat, you know. So we also have to speak up, you know, and rise in unison. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, Dane Wigginton and all these other people that are really hammering on this chemtrail issue, and we need to get behind them and support them. And, you know, the people that are actually coming forward, we need to really rise up. And
it's one of the most important things out there.
It's probably number one on the list right now.
And the vaccines, I mean.
Yeah, your global reset. Yeah, so you get all this money. What happens when you've been vaccinated and you've been poisoned by the chemtrails and everything? How's your money going to? help you, you know. So, I mean, that has to come to an end here.
Is any of that at all going on, do you know? Do you think?
I think it's coming to an end here pretty quick. I think we just have, you know, maybe just a few weeks left at the most. It's going to come to an end because I think the ETs are done with it. They're fed up and they're done, you know, and the white hats are done with it and everything. So
yeah,
it's just a matter
of hell, we're not going to take it anymore. That's right.
Exactly. That's what has to happen.
Anyhow, okay. I appreciate your time, James. You take care and thanks for coming back and helping everybody.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Looks like we've got Leslie on line four. Hope she's still with us.
Yes, I am. Hi, James. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, I'm coming to SETI the end of July with my 85-year-old mother. We are excited to see the orbs and the ships and hopefully the elementals. So when we're sitting there out there in the fields, I saw pictures where there's orbs all around. Are we going to be seeing stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're here. And it was interesting is that, you know, all you got to do is, you know, almost get childlike, get a little goofy out there, and they'll come. You know, they love children. They love feminine energy. And anytime you can get goofy or just a little goofy out there, they love that energy and they come to it. But if you get kind of stoic or heavy, they like pass you by. But I mean, there's so many orbs here. They're so easy to film. You know, they're not just photographs, but we have video of them, you know, in real time flying around. So it's
wow.
A lot of people trying to say those are artifacts. I said, well, it's not a video artifact. You know, the things, it's not dust. It's flying against the wind, you know, it's like, and interacting with people. So it shows clearly that, you know, these orbs are not, it's not dust or some artifact.
That's great. So what do you think when we shift into 5D, do you think we're going to be able to reunite with our deceased loved ones?
Well, yeah, it depends on where they went, because some of them went to 7D and some went to, you know, 5, 6, 7D. And, you know, a lot of them are in 4D, you know, still finishing things up. And so, you know, when the cleanup, there's a huge cleanup going on in 4D. And 4D is where a lot of the reptilian and some of the, you know, malevolent grays and things like that are hanging out. And that's all being cleaned up right now. So once that gets cleaned up, it'll be an easy shift, you know, right into 5D.
So somebody that's operating as your guide, what dimension would they be from?
You know, it could be from any dimension. There's some people walking around with eighth dimensional beings, you know, hanging out with them, and there's other people with fourth dimensional beings.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's neat. Anyway, one last question, I'll let you go.
Sure.
All the talk about Nibiru, do you think that what are we seeing here in the sky? Are they ships? Is it the new Earth? What's your thoughts?
There's so much stuff flying by right now. We're moving into a whole new place, a highly energized place in space. And there's these planets whizzing by us constantly. And NASA's not talking about it, but other people are actually videotape photographing them and seeing them. So I'm sending a thing out in the newsletter where it's undeniable. There's a big old planet going right by us right now. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I'm not sure if it's exactly, you know, Planet X or Planet 9 or all these different numbers they give it, or Nibiru, but there's definitely a lot of stuff whizzing by and, you know, we're all still here. So we either have some major protection, which I'm sure of, you know, or they're not having the effect that a lot of people have foretold.
Right. Okay, I'll let another caller come on. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. I think we've got Gay on line five. Gay, are you with us?
Hi, James. This is Gay from St. Louis. I think I met you last October, and you did a clearing. I don't know if you remember. I was born in Hawaii, and we talked about Hawaii.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little bit. I'm in St. Louis right now, and we've been really barraged by chemtrails that's why all the flooding. It's just been nonstop for days. And we got over 10 inches of rain and flooding. And at the same time at night, there'd be these energies that would come in and just zap you and wake me up at night. And I don't know if it was HARP or whether it was other energy surges that were coming through. But it seems like the sun is really trying to get through, and it's having, you know, is there any way to tune into that? Because the sun seems like it's really important right now.
Yeah, actually, the sun is part of the awakened healing process, and it's altering DNA and everything else, and they're doing their damnedest to shut that thing off, you know, to block it and, you know, right. create a huge plasma field around the planet and with all their games. But, you know, eventually they're going to lose because, you know, the higher beings are going to have their way and the Earth is going to have her way. So it doesn't matter what they do, but unfortunately we have to deal with it, you know, while it's here, but it's on its way out.
Well, that's good to hear, because we really just, it was like, I guess it was like 6-7 days in a row we were, and they were spraying. Today was the first day we had blue skies, which I hadn't seen since I've been in Mexico.
Yeah, we had the same thing. Actually, I just got back from
nice,
Mexico.
But
and
you just
and
got
same
back
thing.
From Mexico.
Yeah, a little while ago, I got back from Mexico, I was also in Maui, and, you know, you see all these beautiful blue skies, and then you come here, and you go, what the hell is going on? And we were hammered here heavily. I mean, we had these big electrical storms come through here, and thunder and everything. It was kind of cool. I liked that kind of stuff. But every time you saw an opening, there was like two or three trails going through it. So they were really active on the storm and trying to intensify it. You know, but they're out of control.
Yeah, the thunderstorms here were, we had a whole day of thunderstorms and lightning and everything. I mean, I like you, I love that, but at the same time, we have them roll across the Central America. It's like somersaulting across the whole Midwest, but at the same time, it seemed unusual.
Just
the whole thing.
Yeah,
but I also
have
some questions about Trump. You know, as much as I'm trying to be open-minded about it, a lot of the stuff he's negating, like the environment and the coal industry, seems like a dying industry. I feel badly for the workers, but it just seems like a very much of a dying industry. And Trump just seems like he really has kind of his own agenda about what he's doing. It seems
I agree.
Like
pipelines
that,
too. Yeah. He should be focusing on the fuel as energy technology, and it's all out there, and we should be outfitting our cars to either run on water or the new free energy technologies and things like that. And so, yeah, but, you know, it's a big business thing. But, you know, his job is to get rid of the Fed and in the swamp, you know, drain the swamp and things like that. And that's his main job. And then kind of make the way for a Gandhi, you know, the next guy. But again, it's up to us.
But he's aligning. He's aligning with the people that may or may not do that. You know?
Yeah. We'll see. You know, he's going to get pushed by the White Hats, you know, here too. He's getting pushed by, you know, he's got huge push on both sides going back and forth. And I agree with you. I have some deep concerns about that too. But unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish I could go into this deeper, but I've got to sign off. So thanks for calling.
Well,
and
thanks for listening, and thanks for chatting. So
all
I appreciate your show, and I listen to it every week.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. And sorry, Tom and Brenda, we don't have time. We're going to call in next time and we'll get some answers. But we're out of time, unfortunately. And, you know, I tell people you can't wait for a messiah. You know, you can't give your power away to external forces and to fix everything for us. We're going to have to find our own messiah within us, our own master, our own god or goddess, and take care of business, you know, rise up and demand, you know, that we live according to universal principles, you know, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. And watch the skies. That's where we're heading. Anyway, have a good evening. Good night.